This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast alongside Adam Burke. Joining me here in the Circa Studios, you can follow him on Twitter, at Skating Tripods. I'm at one Tim Murray. Bowl season is upon us. We have one regular season game remaining, the Army-Navy game, and then the slate of bowls will get rolling. We will be checking in on a weekly basis, doing a little more in-depth on the bowl games. We, of course, had a podcast earlier this week with some early bets that both myself and Matt Eumanns have played. We'll get Adam's thoughts on some of the bowl games, the Heisman Trophy, and Army-Navy. Adam, always appreciate it. And let's jump into Army-Navy as we sit here on this Wednesday afternoon. We're looking at a total of 27.5 and a spread, we'll call it 3 juice to Navy, -3 Army with -115 juice. But if you do like Army, you could find a 2.5. If you do like Navy, you can find that 3. Before we get to the total, which is what everyone wants to talk about, how do you look at this game from a side perspective? Because clearly, Army money has hit the market here as this game has moved and is heading towards that 3.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the Army money. My line personally here is 2.5 in this game. And, you know, obviously, I mean, both of these teams very familiar with each other. They play annually. They both run very, very similar offenses. So their defenses are used to seeing it in practice and all of that. So a lot of familiarity in this game. It definitely tends to be a tighter game more often than not. But, you know, you and I were talking about this before we started recording. Navy, who's actually in a conference, 120th in strength of schedule per Jeff Sagarin. Army, who is not, 96th. Now, a big part of that is Army did play UTSA. They played LSU. They played Troy, the champion of the Sun Belt. So Army definitely stepped up a little bit, although they didn't fare all that well in those games. But I think Army's just the better team. You know, I think Army is a better offensive team. We've kind of seen that play out over the last few seasons. So 2.5, I lean to Army at 3. It would be a no play for me.
As for the total, I don't have a play on this one. Army, you look at their year, and it got off to a pretty bad start, and I would have thought Navy would be the better team. And, you know, you look at Army got shut out in back-to-back games, shut out against Troy, shut out against LSU, nothing to sneeze at there. Then they lost to UMass, but since the month of November came around, they were 3-0, wrapped up the season with a win over Coastal Carolina, which was really a great spot for Army. I think both you and I played Army in that game. I know I did. And now you look at Army and see if they can roll that way for Navy.
Well, and by the way, that Coastal Carolina game was November 18th.
Yeah.
So Army hasn't played since then. And Navy, of course, getting blown out by SMU in the game where Preston Stone got hurt. So really, really long layoff for the Black Knights here.
Yeah, and Navy, you know, since the Air Force game, very disappointing performance against Temple, because I thought they would be bowl bound, but they lost to Temple. They beat UAB, pulled away in that one, beat East Carolina, and then the game against SMU. I do like Navy's defense, and I do think this is going to be a slugfest, so to speak. But, you know, I think the thing to point out, and I know we talked about it last year, when you look at the trend of this rivalry and the fact that the under had hit, I believe, in 15 consecutive years prior to last year going over the total of 32, but it went over because of overtime, double overtime being needed. But I do think it's important, Adam, and I, you know, we've talked about this. Just because it's gone under doesn't mean it has gone under the current number, right? So it's sitting at 27.5, which is comically low. Last year went to double overtime, so we throw that one out. 2021 would have gone over this total, a 17-13 final. 2020 was 15-0, so that would have gone under. But then you look at 2019, 31-7. So you were talking about it, you know, off air. 3 of the last 4 Army-Navy games have actually gone over the current total of 27.5. We had Brad Powers on VSiN Primetime, his normal spot on Tuesdays, and he didn't give it out as a play, Adam, but he said, look, if this thing keeps going down, I'm going to have to hit the over at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're at a point now where 4 touchdowns with extra points gets you over the total in this game. I mean, do we get 4 touchdowns? I think that's a very fair question, but you know, the weather looks good. Saturday in Foxborough, this one is at Gillette Stadium where the Patriots play. First time ever that the game will be played there. 50 degrees and sunny, no wind, so that's not a concern. I mean, wind wouldn't be a concern in this game anyway because neither team throws the football that much. But there were some rule changes this season, you know, in terms of blocking. We saw Air Force, you know, kind of change their offense up a little bit. Same thing for these two teams as well. And look, I mean, people are going to gravitate towards that trend that you talked about, Tim. Even though this total has moved down, you know, 4 points basically since open, people are still going to look at that and say, well, this game's gone under 15 of the last 16 times. It has to go under again. But to your point, this is about as low as the total can be for this game. So I would lean towards the over, but I probably don't want to get too involved in that.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting that the two previous Service Academy games that were played this year, Air Force beat Navy 17-6. Still upset for some reason Brian Newberry decided to go for two there. We still don't understand why, but that's beside the point. And Army beat Air Force 23-3.
Still a stunning result.
Yeah.
I mean, even with how Air Force finished the regular season, still a shocker there.
So that is also worth noting, not that there is ever any motivation question in this one. With a win, Army would grab the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. With a loss, it would actually go back to Air Force because they won it last year. So Army-Navy, for my money, best rivalry in all of sports. I love it. I've been to the game just once. It'll be interesting to see it up in Foxborough, I believe for the first time ever. 3 o'clock
yep, first time.
On CBS. Should be a fun one to watch. I always enjoy watching the Army-Navy game. All right, before we take a break and get some quick thoughts on some bowl games, some opt-out updates, last night here in Las Vegas, I was at the awards dinner where we saw the newest class of the College Football Hall of Fame get inducted. Tim Tebow probably being the headliner of that class, but a lot of big names that you know from college football. Jeremy Maclin got inducted in the Hall of Fame, so on and so forth. And they also handed out the Campbell Trophy, which is known as the Academic Heisman, and Bo Nix won it. Now, sadly, I went to the counter today and I said, hey, Bo Nix won the Academic Heisman. Can I get my 30-1 on the real Heisman? And they said, no, get away from me. So that did not work out in our favor. I anticipate, Adam, come Saturday night, it'll be a pretty decent landslide for Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, to win the Heisman Trophy. I don't think there are any markets up currently. At least I haven't seen any. It's a bummer. We had a great bet. It got to -230. I was stubborn, and I said it. I didn't really hedge off of it. I found a couple avenues to at least just make some money back. You could have gone money line on Washington. If you found, I know DraftKings was offering live Heisman odds during the Pac-12 championship, so if you were able to get off it that way. I played it incorrectly. You live and you learn. I thought Oregon would win the game, and maybe we could play off of it later this week. That was not the case. So, Bo Nix, it was a fun run, 30-1, but we ain't going to get there. Jaden Daniels is going to win this Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, good run, fun game. I went to it. That was the first like major college football game I've been to. I've seen Ohio State play Iowa, and I've gone to a couple South Carolina games, but they clearly didn't mean nearly as much as that game did for the Pac-12 championship. Kalen DeBoer made every adjustment necessary. Michael Penix was the better of the two players in that game, and Washington, of course, makes the playoff. Now, look, we made a good bet. That's all you can ask for. Sometimes good bets don't win. And we made a good bet, and it's not going to get there. And, hey, credit to Jaden Daniels. He had 4 touchdowns against Army and 8 touchdowns against Georgia State. And apparently it's enough to win the award, so good for him.
Just a little shade there. So we will see.
He had a phenomenal season.
He did.
But let's be honest here. And I even mentioned this to you. Like, there was the graphic that Schefter tweeted out with the Final Four, and it's got Jaden Daniels' total touchdowns, but Bo Nix passing touchdowns. Even though if you include Nix's rushing touchdowns, he was only 4 total TDs away from Daniels. So, whatever. I digress. But, good for Jaden Daniels. He had a phenomenal season. And we talked about it, too. This isn't sour grapes or anything like that. We said at multiple junctures on this show that Jaden Daniels should win the Heisman, and he wouldn't because LSU had 3 losses and Oregon would go to the playoff. Oregon picked up a 2nd loss, isn't going to the playoff. So now that can't be an excuse for the voters.
And Penix, if he didn't have a horrendous month of November where he was probably a little bit banged up, I think he would have had a chance to win the award. You know, at the end of the day, the guy who, speaking of Tim Tebow, seeing him last night, he had three losses his Heisman Trophy year, and I think that's what's going to happen. I'm pretty confident, and that's what's going to happen. Before we hit a break and take a look at some bowl games that you're eyeing up here, Adam, and we will next week kind of go more in-depth in the group of games from December 16th to, we'll call it, you know, maybe December 19th or something like that. You saw Washington in person. They get Texas. Alabama gets Michigan. Early thoughts on the two playoff games, and have there been any bets that you've put in the old hopper?
Well, the first thought here is I have Alabama favored in this game. I think Alabama's the better team. I think that's quite clear. I know that they struggle with Auburn, but Michigan's offense is not good. I mean, their defense might be really, really good. I mean, they haven't played a running around quarterback like Jalen Milroe all season long. I think that causes some problems for them. But their offense is not good. I mean, against Ohio State, their best play was a running back pass. They did very little against Iowa. They did very little against Penn State. When they've had to kind of step up a little bit, their offense has looked very, very anemic. J.J. McCarthy has not been particularly good. Everyone got all excited about that throw he made against Ohio State. If the DB turns around, it's a pick. So, yeah, he kind of fit into a tight window to a degree, but the defensive back didn't play it well. McCarthy has not put up good numbers in some of the bigger games. Blake Corum does not have a great yards per carry average, despite having a bunch of rushing touchdowns. So I like Alabama. I think Alabama closes the favorite in this game, because I think a lot of people, as they continue to evaluate this, will look at Michigan's offense and say this is just not a good group. And I think the Crimson Tide, you know, I mean, right now would be a minor upset, but I think Alabama goes off favorites in that game.
Yeah, I have, and we talked about it on the podcast. We haven't talked about it as much because I didn't think it would get home. The week after we played the Bo Nix 30-1, I took it Alabama 14-1.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit here with Alabama, and I'm not going to hedge off of it. Maybe I'm being stubborn again, but I agree with you. I think they're the better team. You certainly could take a Michigan future if you want to hedge off. But, you know, when you're in a situation with four teams remaining, Adam, you know, you start hedging all this. Now you're really eating into that profit. So I'm going to play it out because I think I would have bet Alabama, and I'm just going to sit back and hope my 14-1 gets into a championship game, and then we could figure out what we're going to do with that. All right, we're going to take one quick break. When we come back, run through some bowl games that Adam's got some early plays on, maybe a couple updates from the portal as well. Stick around. It's the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
Sports Betting Innovative Analytics has taken the guesswork and emotion out of sports betting to bring you an innovative and trustworthy resource to enhance your journey to becoming a winning player. With industry-leading money-back guarantee options backed by their sophisticated modeling, they want to introduce you to a system that's not widely seen or available to help you beat the bookmaker. Specializing in NBA, college basketball, and WNBA, your first week is always free. Get started at SBIA1.com today.
All right, we're back. The VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Also worth noting, the bowl betting guide is free to everybody. You don't even have to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. I don't know who did that, Adam. That's ridiculous. But it is free to everybody, so make sure you get our VSiN bowl betting guide, VSiN.com, to get your hands on that.
And in terms of the bowl previews, obviously, you know, we wanted to turn around that free bowl guide as quickly as possible. We got it out on Monday night. Our bowl previews and predictions, at least 72 hours lead time over at VSiN.com for each individual game. Those bowl assignments are out. All of our writers are aware of what they have to do. So at least 72 hours lead time for the previews and predictions for the bowl season over at VSiN.com.
So I'll run through what we talked about on the podcast on Monday. And, man, the bowl season moves. It moves fast. And I do feel bad at times because Matt Newmans and I recorded late Monday night, you know, around midnight Pacific time, 3 a.m. Eastern. Podcast gets turned around by our producer, Steven, and put out as soon as possible. And some of those numbers have moved. So for me, Notre Dame and Oregon State under was around 45.5, 46 when we recorded. Now down to 44, 43.5. No official news yet on the opt-outs for Notre Dame outside of Maris Leofau. But the anticipation is that left tackle Joe Alt, running back Audric Estime, right tackle Blake Fisher, potentially Sam Hartman, the quarterback, will all be out for this bowl game. So the Notre Dame-Oregon State bowl game, the Sun Bowl on December 29th, has got a lot of moving parts. Obviously, we know about the situation regarding Oregon State's coach Jonathan Smith, a lot of their staff members, their quarterback situation. Damian Martinez is suspended with a DUI. So a whole lot going on in the Sun Bowl. That was a bet of mine. Another bet that I put in on the podcast was San Jose State minus 8.5. Still playable, I would say, under 10. Really like the spot for San Jose State. I won't dive into it. Go back and listen to the previous podcast. Also, Rutgers plus 4. That's down to 2.5. So probably would still lean that way. I think Rutgers probably wins this game. And that's something, too, when you look at a game like Missouri. When we've recorded the podcast on Monday night, the Cotton Bowl, before Kyle McCord opted out, Adam, that game was as high as 6 in favor of Ohio State. Now Missouri is laying 2, minus 1 at one shop. So, you know, sometimes you miss out on really good numbers. I missed out on the best of the number. I played, a juice 3 with Missouri, took some money line as well. And then I took some under in Florida State and Georgia, which still have 45.5. So, you know, still worth a look there. All right. That's enough out of me, Adam. When you look through these bowls, which ones jumped out to you initially?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that jumped out. And, you know, I mean, the transfer portal is definitely a big part of it and something that's been, in some respects, it's kind of easy to account for. In other respects, it isn't. Like, there are some guys in the transfer portal, quarterback specifically, that I was like, really?
Yeah.
You're going to move on? But, you know, I mean, if you're anybody in a group of 5, and it is nice that Maiava is going to stay here for UNLV. At least that's what our own JVT reported earlier in the week, that he's not going to jump ship.
Which makes that, by the way, just to interrupt, and our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be on the sidelines for that game. The
Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
The Guaranteed Rate Bowl down in Phoenix. To me, that and the Alamo Bowl, so Kansas UNLV, that's December 26th in Phoenix, and then the Alamo Bowl December 28th in San Antonio. Outside of the playoff and maybe Ole Miss and Penn State, I think those are the two most intriguing bowls of the entire bowl season.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you know, not having Gabriel for Oklahoma, I mean, what Arizona did late in the year was
they are really,
really
high on Jackson Arnold, though. Oklahoma is.
And that's the thing, right? Some of these guys are going to get a chance to play that wouldn't have played otherwise. And maybe some of these guys could be higher upside in some cases. I mean, not to say that this kid's going to go out there and put up Dylan Gabriel numbers, but it wouldn't be all that shocking, you know? So it's tough because you kind of have to know the depth charts. You kind of have to dig in a little bit more. I will say I do like Ole Miss plus 3.5 against Penn State.
I agree.
I'm not a James Franklin guy. I don't think that Penn State has SEC level talent. And for Ole Miss, I mean, what, they lost to Georgia and Alabama. I mean, you know, that's not all that bad. Whereas Penn State, there were some games where they looked really, really bad. Indiana comes to mind. Illinois comes to mind. Of course, losing to Ohio State and Michigan. So I like Ole Miss in that game. That's one of the ones that I really keyed in on, you know, pretty quickly in terms of the bowl season here. Now at this point in time, and this is some news that we didn't have, you know, when you guys did the first show Monday night, it would be impossible for me to not take Wyoming under a field goal with Wyoming minus 2.5. Craig Bohl announced he's going to retire after the bowl game, and Daquan Finn for Toledo is in the transfer portal. So to me, this line should be higher than it is now. I wasn't sure what to do with it initially. I kind of had the line right around the number, but now you got that whole win one for the Gipper rallying cry type of thing for Wyoming. Toledo without their quarterback, Jason Candle, is still, for whatever reason, in the running for the Duke job. So
is Duke ever going to make it higher?
I would hire John Sumrall from Troy. That would be what I would do if I was Duke. But
by the way, I don't know if people recognize this, and it's very important. So the Arizona Bowl, which is Barstool's broadcast, right? It has not been on television. It will be on the CW. So
oh, yeah.
Make sure you know. December 30th, you know, dust off those Gilmore Girls reruns into the Arizona Bowl on the CW.
Yep, that's one of those where you fall asleep watching the game and then you wake up and it's like during March Madness when True TV is showing Impractical Jokers.
Well,
like all of a sudden you're gonna be watching Charmed at 8 a.m. and you're gonna be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, that is what is, if you fall asleep to a TNT broadcast, you're definitely waking up with that what was it, Alyssa Milano witch show, whatever
Charmed,
it was.
Yeah.
Is that Charmed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Is it on TNT, not the CW? Shame on me.
I don't know.
I don't know. Which one carries Law and Order? Because that's always on, too.
Aren't they on all of them?
I think so. They probably are at this 50 point.
50 different versions of Law and
one
Order.
One of the early games here I think is kind of interesting. I don't think you guys had this information on Monday night either. Talen Green leaving Boise State is interesting because Maddox Madsen, the backup, to be out.
He's hurt.
Because that was one where I was like, oh, man, like I have Boise State favored in that game. I kind of like this, and this is why I kind of wait for the market to settle and the news to break, sometimes to my detriment, other times maybe in my favor. I was ready to fire on Boise State in this game, and then you get the Talen Green thing on top of the backup being hurt, and even though they were excited to have Spencer Danielson named the full-time head coach, I had to change my tune about that bowl game.
So on the podcast, we did know that Talen Green was out, and this was a bet that Matt talked about. He did make, and he said, I didn't expect Talen Green to opt out and go into the portal. He could potentially come back. I want to read you something. BJ Raines, who covers Boise Athletics, does a really good job at BJ Raines on Twitter. He said, I keep hearing good things about Colt Fulton. It wouldn't shock me if he starts the bowl game if Green doesn't return in the next few days. Also, why I was hesitant to get in on Boise, and I ultimately grabbed a little on +3, not my favorite bet, was what was the running back situation going to look like? Ashton Genty did get a big NIL deal, so he's staying. And that's a huge boost for them. So I would lean Boise. I couldn't bet UCLA here because I don't think they're going to be motivated whatsoever to be playing in this bowl game. And as Matt pointed out, you lose Lynn, the defensive coordinator. That's the best piece of that coaching staff, it felt like.
That's a really good point, and that's something else to keep in mind here because those dominoes are still falling. Before I make this point, I want to ask, how does a guy named Colt Fulton not start in the Big 12? Like, I mean, come on. That's the most Big 12 name ever for a quarterback. But the point I was going to make before I went off on a sidebar there is keep that in mind. Coordinators are still moving around. A lot of the transfer portal we know now, there's like upwards of 5,000 players in it and all of that, but coordinators are still going to be moving around. And those are the guys that are really putting together the game plans for the bowl games because the head coaches are out there trying to get their transfer portal kids while also, you know, making sure that they're still on the recruiting trail and all of that. So coordinators are definitely a really, really big deal. And one other one that I like here, they got a lot of time to prep for them. And James Madison got to a bowl, and I don't think that they're going to let that opportunity slip by. I know that Air Force really underperformed late in the year, and you could make an argument that this will be kind of a rallying point for them where their true talent level really shows up. But James, if there's going to be any team that's laser focused for one of the early bowl games, I think it's James Madison. And you could say that because it's a service academy with Air Force, but I think James Madison really shows up in that game.
And here's a very important note, all right? So you need to keep a close eye on the portal decisions. Jordan McLeod, the quarterback for James Madison, is in the portal. Kirk Cignetti, the head coach, is left to go to Indiana. Jordan McLeod is going to play in the bowl game. So that is something to keep an eye on there. You're allowed to play in bowl games even if you are in the portal. So, James Madison right now is, what, a three-point favorite in that game against Air Force in the Armed Forces Bowl. All right, before we bid farewell to next week, by the way, more of a deep dive on all the bowl games on the 16th. We've got a bowl game on the 18th, the famous Toastery Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Which is taking place at Jerry Richardson Stadium, which is Charlotte's home field there because the Bahamas Bowl is going through some renovations. We've got UTSA Marshall, Syracuse, South Florida. My initial lean was the Bulls here. I haven't gotten to the window yet, but more time to dive into that.
Is Byron Brown in the transfer portal?
Let me check.
Honestly, it's so hard to keep up with all these quarterbacks that are in there, but that dude's a legit dual threat type of guy. So I don't know if he's not in it yet. Maybe there's a chance here at some point. All right, so 6 hours before we're recording, an update that Byron Brown was among the players slated to speak at USF's Bowl Media Day. So seems like he's not going to enter the portal.
That's good.
Which is a really, really good thing for South Florida. And not only that, something to keep in mind for next season, too, and this is getting way, way ahead, but USF is a team that offensively is really good. Defensively, they're really bad. If they're able to keep Brown there, their offense should be even better next year to where the AAC is not particularly good. So maybe they're kind of a long shot candidate to keep in mind as you're kind of going through your power ratings and all that this summer.
All right. Any final games that intrigue you, bets that you've gotten in the hopper so far?
So I don't think there have really been a ton of opt-outs. I think Clemson's top wide receiver opted out. But Clemson-Kentucky is kind of a fascinating game to me because we just saw Kentucky beat Louisville, you know, right there in Louisville's last game prior to the ACC championship game. And Clemson was better than their record throughout the course of the season. But there's some dysfunction in that Clemson program right now.
Fired a bunch of coaches.
Yeah, I mean, and Mark Stoops, you know, he was going to Texas A&M, then he wasn't. Now he's back there at Kentucky and says he's happy and all that. Fascinating game with Clemson a 7-point favorite there in a game that I think could be kind of a defensive slugfest. So I feel like I kind of like Kentucky a little bit plus the points in that one.
Yeah, Bo Collins is in the transfer portal, wide receiver for Clemson. I would imagine a couple guys are going to opt out. Jeremiah Trotter, I believe, has confirmed that he will not play in that bowl game. But Clemson is a team that I would say historically, even in these lower level bowl games, has performed decently. The Gator Bowl is Clemson and Kentucky. That is on December 29th, a noon kickoff there in Jacksonville, Florida. As mentioned, we will continue to have more podcasts all throughout the bowl season. We'll have one next week, but make sure you stay tuned to VSiN.com for all of our in-depth previews. As mentioned, also the VSiN free bowl betting guide is available right now. But for Adam Burke at Skating Tripods on Twitter, I am Tim Murray. You can follow me at @1TimMurray. We'll talk to you next week. Continue to get you ready for the bowl season right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.